on here?
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker. But you are not a Jedi yet.
You are a vain, greedy, cruel boy.
You are an old man and a fool!
You're unworthy!
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural. With great power comes great responsibility.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Hey! Take those headphones off! Right now!
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Anybody care about what I want?
I do.
Shut up. Get out.
Are you stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder?
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Got a bad feeling about this.
This drink, I like it. Another!
No. I am your father.
Guys,
I'm bringing the party to you.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode number 2 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me are Patrick Hackett.
Oh, hey!
And Ron Deanna.
Hello!
And we're going to get right into the news. First news story that we have to talk about is Olivia Wilde and Garrett Hedlund officially returning for Tron 3. You want to take this one, Patrick?
I think it was probably the most important part. I feel like rebooting the series again without the same actors and actress would really dampen the effect of the film.
Yeah, it needs to have more of a connection than it looked like it was having before they announced this. There was such a gap between, you know, the original and Legacy that it felt disconnected even though they tried to fill it in. Having, you know, the same actors come back and look the same is going to be a huge part in keeping it look like it's a directly related film.
CGI.
Yeah, that worked so well last time.
That's another question. Is Jeff Bridges going to be back?
The dude abides.
And let us hope so. Let's not forget about Daft Punk, because they definitely have to come back and score the film.
That's the most key element.
Yeah, we talked about that in Nerd Alert, the Lost episode, and that is definitely a key element, is Daft Punk coming back.
Well, I guess we're all going to have to wait until D23, until we find out more information about Tron 3. Alright, so the next story is Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool costume and the movie getting an R rating. Originally, on April 1st, I know that they announced that it was going to be PG-13, and a lot of people were upset with that. And then Ryan Reynolds and Mario Lopez did some sort of extra spoof.
Extra!
And it was revealed that Deadpool is in fact getting an R rating. What does everyone feel about that?
The movie needs it. I mean, anyone who's read a Deadpool book knows how key that is to the character. I mean, it doesn't have to be the language, but it's just so over-the-top violence. It's like a Kill Bill level of ridiculousness that's going to happen. And yeah, the language will definitely help. There's no other character who gets into arguments with his little orange narration boxes. He's aware he's in a book, and I think that wouldn't work in a PG-13 either. So I seem to think they're doing everything right. I mean, if you've seen that test footage, he definitely starts narrating to the camera. And supposedly, there was stuff out today, they reshot that scene. So that whole test footage reel is that they did with the CG Deadpool is going to be in the movie with Ryan Reynolds in the costume, which looks absolutely perfect as well.
Costume looks great, and the R rating was needed. I think a lot of people were focusing on the violence, but it's really more the language. I mean, you can make this movie fine without blood and gore and, you know, seeing blood splatter everywhere. It's the language. You need to let Deadpool speak the way he's going to be speaking. But they're taking a huge risk in making this rated R and not getting all the money they can for it.
After seeing how right they got this costume, I am totally on board on seeing Deadpool. I never was a fan of the character and really could care less about the movie. But I appreciate the hell that they are actually staying faithful to what this character looks like in the costume. And a lot of characters are not like that when you see superhero movies. So I definitely applaud them for that. Ryan Reynolds did an excellent job in X-Men Origins Wolverine, and I think he's going to do a fantastic job in his own movie. He definitely gets the character, and I think that's really going to show when we finally get to see him. So our next story is Hugh Jackman came out and said that Wolverine 3 will be his last, and the director of the Wolverine, James Mangold, basically confirmed it too. And any opinions on that one?
This is a problem you get a lot. I mean, it's the same reason they said they never did the Spike series after Angel and Buffy ended, is you can't keep playing immortal characters forever with the same actor. It's going to be a point where it's just not believable anymore. And he's done a great job as Wolverine. I think it's been fantastic. But I'm willing to see where they're going to go. I mean, people have said that, you know, Age of Apocalypse and Wolverine 3 are going to end a series of X-Men films where they're going to use whatever happens in Apocalypse to reboot the series and do whatever they want with it from afresh. So I'd like to see a new Wolverine come in, and maybe one that's not 8 inches too tall.
That has been the big thing on the internet lately, is Hugh Jackman's height of playing Wolverine. And I understand that Wolverine is very specific in his height, but I think Jackman's stature has been just fine about it. I'm more upset with the material he's had to work with than the height of the actor. I'm also really leery about Age of Apocalypse rebooting everything. We're going to get tired of these reboots eventually, because what are they going to give us, a whole new X-Men team that we're going to have yet more origin stories on? Come on. In my mind, there really is no need for a standalone Wolverine film, another one. None of them have been good. And Wolverine is one of the most interesting characters Marvel has. There's so much to explore with him, and they just cram it into these crap fest of films, and I have no hopes for the third one.
I wouldn't say the second Wolverine was bad. I actually enjoyed it. But there are issues with the first one, I agree. Could have been better. But I've always felt that Hugh Jackman has given a great performance as Wolverine, and he gets the character.
Absolutely.
He is tall. I'll give you that much.
You guys are crazy. Okay, so I need to address this, that there was a theory going around that Danny DeVito, who is the proper height, would have played Wolverine at one point in time. Is that something you would rather have DeVito than Jackman?
No, I always thought if they were going to do it with, like, the 80s, 90s actors, I always pictured Bruce Willis in my head a little bit, who's definitely taller than Wolverine, but I don't think he's as tall as Jackman.
It never distracted me from the character. Did it take you out of the movie at all, or is it just we're here on Nerd Alert being overly nerdy?
No, I think parts of it, with him and Sabretooth, that was always a big thing. That made it a big difference to me. Yeah, that got to me a
little
bit.
Okay, I can see that. I was more upset with the way they portrayed Juggernaut in that than anything else.
Oh, that's huge. That movie just, I don't even acknowledge its existence.
Yeah, I think Hugh Jackman did an amazing job as Wolverine. And again, you know, I'm kind of glad that he did get the role, because to me, he is Wolverine now. As far as the height difference, I don't care. He did such a great job that I'd care less if he didn't measure up to or measure down to the actual character. And it's kind of sad to see him go. I'd really like to see him do some more. But hopefully his last one will be his best one. Well, my question too is the third one going to be Old Man Logan? Where he's much, much older and he's living in a post-apocalyptical age.
Wolverine kills the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where they're going to go with that. You're right.
I'd love to see that, but they're definitely going to have to make some sort of deal with Disney and Marvel, because you have to bring over a ton of characters that Disney has ownership over. And you definitely need the Hulk in this one. And I'd love to see Wolverine Cyclops team up just to piss Patrick off.
No, it'd make me so angry.
With that is the news of the week. This week, our topic of the week has to do with the Star Wars Special Editions.
Through the Force, things you will see, other places, the future, the past, old friends long gone.
Okay, hit it!
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic. Before the Dark Times. Before the Empire.
You were the Chosen One!
Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
You're under arrest, Chancellor.
Who am I?
That boy is our last hope.
That's not wise to upset a Wookiee.
Crush them!
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Use the Force, Luke.
Reason why we're bringing this up is back on April 1st, someone announced that the Star Wars saga was going to be released digitally through Vudu, iTunes, and various other formats. One thing that we learned is that it's going to be special editions only. We're not going to see the unaltered versions of the movies, but that was never any kind of surprise because we figured that that's what it was going to be.
That's the big problem. I can't get behind any format that doesn't give me the movie as was intended. I don't care about the cleaning up they did and making it look better. That's awesome. That's great. But stop changing the freaking movie!
You know, I was one of those people who had about 8 editions of the VHS, and mostly because I wore them out. And I'm not buying the digital because, you know what, I will just rip what I have and put them on my computer myself.
In 1997, to coincide with the 20th anniversary, Lucas decided to release Star Wars films theatrically, but this time they would be special editions. A lot of this has to do with the fact that there have been huge improvements in the field of CGI, and that Lucas was never really happy with how the final product of all 3 movies of the original trilogy turned out. The special effects were cleaned up, or entirely new scenes were added. And each additional release of the film on home video has even more and more changes.
Just stop it. Just stop it. This is my one plea. Just stop it. Talk to Fox. Do whatever you can to get the rights to the originals back.
What we're going to do is we're going to go through some of the changes that were made in the special editions. Like I'd mentioned, there are a ton of changes, and we're not going to go through all of them. Or else we'd be here for hours, probably. So to shorten things up, we're just going to go with the big ones, the big changes. And the first change that I wanted to discuss and see what you guys think about it is in A New Hope, they changed Darth Vader's voice filter so that it kind of matched the other 2 movies, Empire and Jedi.
I'm a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take it away!
See, things like that don't bother me at all. I honestly don't even think about that one when I'm watching it. It sounds more natural. It sounds cleaner. It sounds the anti-Christopher Nolan. It's that stuff like that's fine. You know,
only then can you blow up Alderaan.
What?
I was just doing Bane. Bane is Darth Vader. Bane Vader. Darth Bane.
I don't even remember where I was, but yeah, little things like that, that's what the special edition should have been.
Exactly. Yeah, just things that added to something that was already there. We didn't need stuff taken out and replaced with stuff that we didn't like to see. So the next one is one of the big ones. Greedo shoots first.
Una puta solo?
Yes, Greedo. As a matter of fact, I was just going to see your boss. Tell Jabba that I've got his money.
So, club Jabba. Boopa. Goopak me at a pampa.
Over my dead body. Yes, I bet you have.
You know, it alters Han's character, and Lucas's argument, that's not who Han is. That is really who Han is. You use the word scoundrel, smuggler, pirate. That's what that kind of person would do.
Scruffy,
it's not like...
herder.
He didn't kill him in cold blood. He had a gun drawn on him by someone who was going to take him to someone who's going to kill him. He did what he had to do in the first place. He didn't just walk up behind Greedo and shoot him in the back. Even beyond that, if they had to put it in, the effect they did to change it is so bad. And I don't think they've fixed it at all in any of the editions where they easily could with better with the modern effects.
They actually have fixed it. I have the Blu-ray version and I viewed it, and it's actually the best one that we have if we're never going to get the original one back. Because what it does is it has Greedo and Han shoot at the same time, and Han isn't magically ducking out of the way. and Greedo doesn't have the worst aim in history. It's the least offensive of the ones that we've seen. But it doesn't bother me as much. I know it bothers a lot of people.
Well, it doesn't bother you as much as...
Oh, I have a lot more things that bother me than this.
Really?
Yes.
This is one of the most egregious errors. Everything that Ron said is spot on. This is every bit in Han's character. This is who he is. It doesn't make him less of a hero. It makes him more of an everyman, just trying to do what he can do, which makes his revelation and his dedication later on to the cause so much better.
No, I agree with that. I'm just saying there are far worse atrocities made in the special editions that this one doesn't seem as bad to me.
All right.
Well, if we're going into what I think's next, yeah, this is probably...
No, I mean, the only thing I'm going to say is that what bothers me that what Lucas has come out and said, it was always intended for Greedo to shoot first, and that it was just a bad camera angle that caught it, which is complete baloney.
George Lucas, liar.
He's like Eddie Murphy, who says, I'm not going to do R-rated movies anymore because I have kids. Lucas had kids and everything suddenly had to be whitewashed Barney style. Barney the Dinosaur style.
Really.
Speaking of egregious, let's go to what the obvious next one is going to be.
All right. And what do you think that one is?
The re-adding of the Jabba scene with Han.
You are correct, sir.
Solo! Do not by me, Solo! Solo!
Right here, Jabba.
I've been waiting for you.
Run, you had to be.
You didn't think I was going to run, did you?
I'm Mabuki. Kili Kaliakuka. Wanted a Mulira. Wonky Chisa Crispa Greedo.
Look, Jabba, next time you want to talk to me, come see me yourself. Don't send one of these twerps.
Han.
You think I had a choice?
Ugh.
It's great in concept. And once again, I think something if they redid now with today's effects and could have Han not step on his tail would be perfectly fine.
Why the tail step?
And if you couldn't get Jabba to work that way, edit out and put in Bib Fortuna, you know, the squid-headed Twi'lek, his, his butler, if for people who don't know who I'm talking about. Put him in that scene to just fix it, but no, it had to be Jabba, who just doesn't fit and doesn't look right.
Not at all.
Yeah, he looks like an anorexic Jabba.
He looked better in episode one, which is something bad enough to say on its own.
But I will say now, the both of you, is this true or not, you haven't seen the Blu-rays?
I have not seen the Blu-rays intentionally.
I probably have watched them now that I think about it, but I don't remember the differences so much between the Blu-rays and the DVDs and all the and the special edition released in the theaters. I don't remember those differences. I remember actually seeing this original scene the way it was shot.
Yep.
That's definitely interesting.
With a human actor.
Actually, right now, while we're talking about this, I really want to plug, these are available somewhere on the internet. You're going to have to Google for them yourself. But there is a series of really great Star Wars documentaries by, I believe the guy's name is Jamie Benning or Jambe Devardar. It is like the pseudonym, supposedly. They're called Star Wars Begins, Building Empire, and Returning to Jedi. And there are these... They take different cuts of the movie, edit them with test footage, cut scenes, different interviews, and text interviews at the bottom, and it makes really, really great documentaries on the original trilogy. That kind of scene is something that would be in there, and I don't know, if you Google for them, you could probably find them. That's how I found them originally, and they're just great.
The only thing I'm going to add, though, is I've seen the Blu-rays a couple of times, and they have improved that scene. Jabba does look a lot better than he did originally, but he's pretty close to what he looks like in Jedi or Episode 1.
And the fan service of adding Boba Fett in there.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
With the camera spike, that's even just so absurd. If you wanted to have him walk by, that's one thing. Don't have everybody else walk off screen. And then your character who wasn't in the original, stop, look at the camera, and keep going.
Yeah, God, I'm just getting angry.
Anyway, let's move on into the next one. And this one's not so bad. What Lucas did was he changed the writing in the Death Star from English to, I guess, whatever language they speak, you know, in their galaxy.
I believe it's called Basic what they speak it, but the alphabet's called Orabesh. And that's a good change to me. That's perfectly fine. That ties in with the later movies and makes sense in the universe.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a good change, and I think it was needed, and I'm glad that he did that. And if he would have made little changes like that throughout the movie, I would have been fine with it. But I think when people first saw the special editions in the theaters, they weren't expecting these huge changes that changed the character arc of someone like Han Solo, like you had mentioned. And I guess that's what disappoints people the most.
I really think we need to talk about the special editions when they came out, how big of a deal they were, and, you know, when people went to see them, that what they were. I mean, I was in high school at the time. I think I was a junior when they came out in spring of 97, so I would have been a high school junior. Yeah, I think everybody in my high school was at one theater or another that weekend seeing that. I mean, I think we had like 12 to 20 guys, depending on which movie, which weekend, that we went to see them. And I think I saw each of them, because they were limited releases of, what, 2 or 3 weeks each?
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw each of them at least 2 more times in theaters when they came out. It was just such a big deal, and everybody knew Episode 1 was in the works. We wanted to see what digital effects were going to look like for this. And it was a good hint of that, and it was a good hint of how the storytelling would be going in that.
Yeah, we really should have gotten the hint, huh?
All right, so the next scene that they changed was when Han Solo was running after a bunch of stormtroopers, and instead of chasing a few stormtroopers into a dead end, Chewbacca and he end up running into a hangar bay with hundreds of troopers in it.
It's them! Blast them!
Get back to the ship, you go!
Certainly has courage.
What do you think about that one?
I think that's another one that made sense to change. Why did Han and Chewie suddenly turn around in the original cut? It's the same 6 troopers they were chasing. So, you know, why did anything change before? Having an entire regiment in there definitely changes their situation and would send them packing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as opposed to that one. It makes more sense. So, again, it's not that big of a deal. And I think what we've been getting around to in a lot of these conversations is that it's getting harder and harder to tell what was originally there versus what's been added over the years, what's been added and what cut. And I think that's actually the more troubling thing than this little change that may have been, you know, a whatever change.
Yeah, that scene doesn't bother me really at all. I mean, it's fine. I can understand why he added it. I don't know. It's a fine scene. All right, the next one I wanted to bring up is Obi-Wan's lightsaber blade.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Did any of you ever think this? This is what I thought about when I first saw this originally in the movies, and I'm not even sure if you were alive back then.
I was
because
we're not that young. I'm slightly older than Empire.
I'm that young.
No, you're not young enough to not remember the original cuts. And
no, I remember the original cuts, but I couldn't see them in the theaters. What's the only one? The only one I'd be alive for is Jedi.
Jedi's the only thing I remember seeing in the theaters. I probably didn't see the others, but I mean, I just watched them so much at that age. I literally wore out tapes.
Well, I'm much older than the both of you, and I do remember seeing this in the theater. And it was when Vader and Obi-Wan were having their lightsaber battle on the Death Star. And one thing I noticed that is when Obi-Wan's lightsaber, to me, seemed like it was dying out. I actually thought it was his batteries were going bad. Did anyone notice that at all, or was it just me?
I definitely noticed. I always just... It was kind of the angle where it suddenly looks like it's head-on for a second when he dips it.
Yeah, and then he kind of like is almost like shaking it up, like that's going to help him.
I mean, we always try that. Shake it, turn it off and on again. Did he try that?
Anyway, they fixed that, and I definitely noticed that in the Blu-ray release. It looks a lot better.
So, I mean, that's fine that they fixed that, but I think, to me, when we look at the universe in a bigger picture, that's something that adds a little bit more to it, because that's a lightsaber that hasn't been used in hundreds of years, let's say. You know what I mean? We don't have a real good angle on life expectancy and things like that in the universe. So it could just be that that's an old lightsaber and it's acted a little wonky, and I'm cool with that. And I'm also cool that they changed it.
But it was just such an obvious effects glitch. It obviously didn't seem to matter in the scene. That's why I think, yeah, perfect example of what changing a film should be.
Yeah, and that's what I was expecting in the special editions, just fixing small things like that that he couldn't do back in the day. And, you know, again, that's fine. I enjoyed that he did make that addition, especially to the new special editions. There was a scene that was added between Luke Skywalker and Biggs Darklighter.
Hey, Luke! Hey, how are you? Great.
How are you?
Thanks. Come here.
I'll be right up there with you. And have I got stories to tell you?
You sure you can handle this shit,
sir? Luke is the best bush pilot in the Outer Rim territories.
You'll do all right.
Thank you, sir. I'll try. I gotta get aboard. You'll hear all your stories when we get back, all
right? Right.
Hey, Biggs. I told you I'd make it someday.
It'll be like old times, Luke. They'll never stop us.
It was kind of nice to finally get to see the two of them together, because Luke is always talking about Biggs and how he joined the Rebel Alliance and that he kind of looked up to him and hoped one day join him in the Rebel Alliance. And then finally getting to see the two of them interact was something that was really nice and well done.
Right, and it shows, you know, all the pilots are dying in the Death Star assault, and the only one that really shakes Luke up is when Biggs is killed. So if you don't meet Biggs elsewhere, you really don't have that impact on why Luke is so affected. I mean, granted, Luke's had a bad day or two, whatever's been going on. Everything that's happened, you know, oh, his aunt and uncle are killed. You know, he finds a planet's blown up. That's kind of his fault. And then Obi-Wan dies, which he's the most upset about of anything, which, you know, still doesn't make much sense compared to his family dying to me. But Biggs' relationship with him, you know, is shown during the assault. And have any of you guys ever seen the deleted scene that actually takes place at Anchorhead earlier in the movie?
Yeah, I've seen that. That's pretty cool.
And that's in that documentary I was talking about before, Star Wars Begins. You could actually see that scene as it was shot. And I'm surprised that never made it to any of the cuts. It does add a little bit more backstory for Luke there.
I agree. Totally. It's a good addition.
One last scene I wanted to talk about, New Hope, that I really liked is they added new shots of the X-Wings taking off from Yavin and then going into formation to attack the Death Star. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Lock S-foils in attack position.
Yeah, everything from here on out was well done. I mean, there were more TIEs and X-Wings, and they looked better flying. Although I think we did begin to get that weird type of explosion that was used for every space explosion after that. That kind of circular, like Saturn-y looking thing as it blows up came out of the redone Death Star explosion.
Yeah.
But, you know what? Everything looked gorgeous in the Battle of Yavin. That's what I really... why I went back to see the special editions again and again in theaters.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely a great addition, and I agree with Ron. It was like somebody who just found After Effects for the first time and was just putting explosions everywhere. It's like when you first get your chance to edit, every wipe is a star wipe.
I think that's what they were teasing in the trailers, too. That's the scene I remember the most, was just seeing the formation of the X-Wings. And I remember even being in the theaters, people would see that and they would go, whoa, that looks so good. I have to see this.
There was some little blurb about it. I don't know if it was marketing or, you know, somebody else talking about it. And it said the Rebel fleet never looked so strong. And it was that shot of, like, all 30 X and Y wings that there weren't in the original. There were, what, maybe 12 in that shot originally, if that. And you finally see that, you know, they did have a full assault, you know, squadron going in. It wasn't just Porkins and Biggs and Wedge and Luke and the three other guys that got killed.
And that's the last scene I have to talk about with A New Hope. It's, when I think about it, A New Hope had a lot of changes, and some of them were definitely bad, and then some of them were minor, and some were improvements. But as we go on, we're going to see that there are some stronger issues in the later movies that I think were big mistakes that were added to the special editions. But we're going to go right into Empire Strikes Back right now. And even before I start even thinking about the changes, I think that that's the least offensive. The first one I was going to mention was back on Hoth. You finally got to see a new version of a Wampa. They now have a guy in a Wampa suit, and it does look a lot nicer. It looks like they put a lot of work into this suit. But my biggest problem with that, though, is they never got rid of the old one. So there are times when it cuts back and forth to the old one and the new one, and it's just inconsistent.
Yeah, I could understand that. But I think, you know, seeing the Wampa, you never had that kind of gravitas of how dangerous that creature really was at first. And I think you got a lot more of that in the special edition there.
Yeah. I'm all for more Wampas. I want more Wampas.
All right, so that one, again, it wasn't too bad. Like, my problem was the inconsistency, but he did look pretty good. I'll give him that much. Now, this one I thought was possibly the best change that was made. In Empire, there's this scene where Darth Vader speaks to the Emperor via hologram. And back then, the Emperor was actually portrayed by a woman. And with the special editions, they changed it to now they had the actual actor, Ian McDiarmid, who plays the Emperor in most of the Star Wars movies. He's now the Emperor in this scene. And I think that was a fantastic addition, and it just fits very well.
What is thy bidding, my master?
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
I have felt it.
We have a new enemy. The young rebel who destroyed the Death Star. I have no doubt this boy is the offspring of Anakin Skywalker.
How is that possible?
Search your feelings, Lord Vader. You will know it to be true. He could destroy us.
He's just a boy. Obi-Wan can no longer help him.
The Force is strong with him. The son of Skywalker must not become a Jedi.
If he could be turned, he would become a powerful ally.
Yes. He would be a great asset. Can it be done?
He will join us or die, Master.
Yeah, this will be the only time I say changing to the updated actor was a good change. Poor, poor Jeremy Bullock is all I'm going to say for the rest of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good change. That's actually one of the changes it took me a while to notice, is the changes with the Emperor.
I mean, it just makes sense to do those kind of things. I mean, the voice wasn't right. The look was completely different.
Yeah.
So why not do it?
Totally.
Yeah, so we can all agree that that was a great addition. Another good addition I felt, too, was the effects that they added to Cloud City. They look a lot nicer. Cloud City in the original looked very sterile. But after the special editions, you really couldn't say that. It looked like more of a city, more of a lived-in city, and I really enjoyed that aspect.
Yeah, the stark white that, you know, was kind of 1971 Tomorrowland, actually, or the original one, just doesn't feel right after seeing the open-air version of the city. And the flyover shots, everything. Cloud City really became a beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, I am right aboard with you guys. And this is another change that, once again, upon review and research, I did not realize. You know, it just seemed natural.
All right, so we're going to move on to the next one. And this one I specifically searched out because this really pisses me off every time I see it, is when Luke's on Dagobah and R2-D2 falls into the water and he gets eaten up by some sort of creature. When he gets spit out and he finally ends up finding R2-D2, Luke's original line in the original version is, "You're lucky you don't taste very good." But they changed it for some reason in the special editions to, "You were lucky to get out of there." That bothers me for some reason.
You know, I don't even... I'm just so used to that line, and it's such a good joke line, that I think I still hear it in my head. I've never noticed the line change.
The more we talk about this, the more I realize that my lines are so blurred. And being at the age that I am, you know, 30-something, it's difficult for me to start separating which one of these is which.
All right, so this one's a big one too. When Luke jumps off after being beaten by Vader and having his hand chopped off, instead of joining Vader, Luke decides to just drop to possibly his death instead of joining Vader and the Empire. And he does it very heroic and elegantly. He just lets go with his one good hand and just drops backwards. But for some reason, George Lucas had the wisdom to change it where he added a scream going down by Luke.
"Come with me. It is the only way."
And it just sounds so ridiculous. I mean, I've heard it a couple of times, and it does. It sounds like Kermit the Frog screaming for dear life. And while researching this, I actually found out that that's actually the scream that the Emperor made when he was being thrown down that chute at the end of Jedi, and they just kind of reworked it into Empire. He did change it, though, because in the Blu-ray release, it's not there, but in the previous DVD release, it was, and I'm glad that after he changed it, he changed it again.
Yeah, the no is not necessary. Just giant screams of no are not necessary anywhere in the Star Wars saga. Let's just leave it at that there.
Yeah. He doesn't scream no, though. He just screams like he's had a bad nightmare.
Yeah, it's just adding for the sake of adding there. There's no real need for it. None. What's that scream add to it?
I just added to piss me off, I think.
I don't think that George Lucas did that specifically to get you angry, Joe.
I don't know about that.
When I was taking writing classes, one of my fantastic professors at LaSalle University said, "You only have so many exclamation points. Make sure they count." And all these yells are just like that. They're wasted exclamation points.
So that one was the last one that I have for Empire. So now we're going to move on to Return of the Jedi, which is the most offensive changes. Okay, here's the first one. Jabba's rock band over there playing Jedi Rocks, and that is just painful.
Terrible. Terrible.
Absolutely unneeded in every sense of the word. I mean, there was a musical number there, that's fine, a little bit, but, you know, don't need to go all Broadway Muppets on us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, I know that I think he was pacifying his son, because his son actually wrote the lyrics to that song, and it may have been his son's idea to add that to the movie.
Yeah, that's, you know, your best bet is to ask your children what you should put in your multi-billion dollar films.
That's how he names characters.
That's called a Christmas present.
This whole conversation makes me so angry.
Well, that's what it's supposed to do.
Great!
So the next one that I have here is a revised version of the Sarlacc at the Sarlacc pit. And he's got a beak and he looks more monstrous. And I was fine with that one.
Yeah, the beak makes sense. I mean, the Sarlacc was always kind of a weird creature, and more tentacles beak makes it seem more believable in a way. Like, otherwise it just happened to wait for someone to stumble along this entire desert planet into a hole. This at least gives it, like, oh, something came by, I can eat it.
Was that the only thing added to the Sarlacc pit scene, or is there more?
Tentacles.
There's nothing else? Because I feel like there was a change to that.
There was a couple of lines that were changed. Like, I mean, this was one I wasn't going to mention, but originally when Lando is, like, hanging off the side, Han says originally, "It's all right, trust me." And in the special edition, now he says, "It's all right, I can see a lot better."
All right.
Yeah, that's another line that didn't need to be done.
There were some things done there, but I'd say that's the big one. It's just the Sarlacc is just looks like a big, bad monster. It did look dead in the original version at times. So I'll give him credit for that one. And now I'm going to come up with a big one. This is the one that pisses me off like you do not believe. Is when Luke is basically being attacked by the Emperor, and he's calling out to Vader as his father to help him, and Vader is looking back and forth.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I don't need a spoiler alert, because everybody's seen this one already.
I know.
And what happens is, in the original version, you don't hear a word. You know that Vader is conflicted. He doesn't know whether to obey his master or whether to help save his son. There's a close-up of his face, and you can kind of see that there has to be some kind of torment. His head goes back and forth, looking at the Emperor, then looking at Luke. And I remember when I saw this in the theater, is my whole theater just got up and was screaming and yelling at Vader, you know, saying, "Come on, you can do it, you know, save Luke." And people were just punching each other, just screaming, because they knew he was going to do it, or they were hoping he was going to do it. And then when he did it, the place just went cuckoo bananas. I mean, they just flipped out, and people were hugging each other. I mean, it was just like an experience that you don't see anymore. What made that so great was that you really didn't know what he was thinking. But this new version in the special editions that was just released on the Blu-ray, it has Vader yelling, "No."
Oh, and it is the same clipped "no," isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's the same clip from Revenge of the Sith.
Ugh, I don't even want to watch that.
It ruins the movie. It really does ruin the movie. I've watched it once, and I can't watch it again after that.
It's... I don't get it. Like, what does he feel that adds? I mean, has anyone actually had, like, a legitimate conversation with Lucas about this where he didn't just give an aloof, one-off kind of answer? It's just, I want to know, what do you think you added? I don't want to be a jerk about it. I don't want to be like, "You ruined it." But, I didn't even do the voice right, and I apologize to Brandon. But, like, why? What was the motivation? Did you think you were actually making it better? And why did you think you were making it better with this change?
His motivation was he was trying to tie the prequels to the original trilogy together.
Yeah, but, I mean, the yelling of "no" doesn't do that.
Vader becomes Vader when he says "no."
Yeah, I guess.
In Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when he saves Luke, he no longer is Vader. He's no longer a prisoner of the dark side. That's what he was trying to say. But we don't need to see that or hear that.
I guess you're right.
I know I'm right. Anything wrong?
I'm blocking out the nose from my mind. I'm not acknowledging this. I'm just off in a corner right now in a happy place.
Okay. Well, lucky you. But unfortunately, unlucky me, because that's something that bothers me a lot.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. I definitely know I haven't seen it. I might have left the room knowing that was coming if I watched the Blu-ray.
Really? Anyway, that's my biggest beef with that, with the changes, is that one just drives me crazy.
That's although the one.
There's one more.
There's two more that both really annoy me pretty much as bad as the no.
Let's get to
it.
Yeah, we're almost done here. There's a scene after the Empire's defeated and the Rebel Alliance is victorious where you kind of see these different planets. You see Coruscant, you see Naboo, and in this special edition, you see Naboo, and they recently added Jar Jar Binks is up on some tower screaming, "We set free!"
Oh, God.
It's all his fault.
It is all his fault. That's the problem. Everything is his fault.
Again, this is Lucas reminding us that he has total control.
This to me is the biggest middle finger, too.
Oh, yeah. Do you think Jar Jar could be in the sequels? Which, actually, no, there's no way impossible that's going to happen.
Oh, it's definitely happening. Maybe his head will be on a pike somewhere.
Well, that would be good. I'd like to see that.
I think I ruin people's trips on Star Tours anytime we go to Naboo, and I just like, kill it with fire.
I honestly always thought what I saw coming during the prequels, like when we got to Revenge of the Sith, I thought one of the things when you see Anakin turn would be him to kill Jar Jar, who's someone who's been his friend for his entire life, to just... That would have been a moment.
Yeah.
You just see the darkness there. And nope, they didn't do it because... can't kill a character with a face.
And he was Lucas's buddy. And that was another character that one of his kids created.
Just do what should be done. Turn off the sound and play Yub Nub. Like that scene's supposed to have.
Okay, wait, I'm getting to that one. Alright, so this is the next thing. Once the Empire is defeated, again, I had mentioned that we see various planets like Bespin, Tatooine, Coruscant, Naboo. But for some reason, the Ewok celebration song, which is referred to as Yub Nub,
the best,
has been changed to what I feel is probably one of the worst pieces that John Williams has ever composed. It's much of a downer. I just don't like it. And the worst reveal out of all of this is now the actor that played Anakin Skywalker, who was Sebastian Shaw, is now being played by Hayden Christensen. And it makes absolutely no sense for him to be a Force ghost along with Yoda and Obi-Wan, and that irritates the hell out of me. Not as much as the no, but it's pretty close.
I think you should be more irritated about Yub Nub.
I am irritated with Yub Nub.
They go hand in hand. But even if he is going to be a Force ghost, which, you know, we learn later is something that wasn't normal. Oh, when we first saw the movies, we just assumed, okay, Jedi die, they're Force ghosts. But then, you know, we go back and we find out later that that's something Qui-Gon did, and that's still going to be canon because I think that came up in Clone Wars. Oh. Even if it was, how did he de-age 21 years?
Oh yeah, I didn't even think of that. I mean, every time I see that, I always think Luke is probably saying, "Who the hell is that?" Because this guy is younger than Luke. I mean, he knows Obi-Wan and he knows Yoda, and now you got this young, I don't know, Backstreet Boy or whatever the hell you want to call him.
Worst actor ever.
Yeah, he just doesn't fit in there. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, now Lucas's explanation for this is that when Darth Vader was killed, Anakin reverted back to the Force, or the good side of the Force instead of the dark side of the Force. And since the last time we saw Anakin, and he wasn't in the dark side, was when he was Hayden Christensen, that is his spirit, which makes no sense.
Or the simpler answer is, Lucas is like, I could write one less residual check for the future versions.
No, he just added another one, then. I mean, doesn't he have to pay Hayden now?
Well, he was already paying Hayden when he sells a set anyway. Is Shaw the unmasked version of Vader 2?
Yes, he is.
Okay, so he still has to do that. Never mind. I'll take that back. Yeah, that was always my thought. It was, oh, you know, another actor I don't have to pay a residual to.
All right, bottom line is we're done with our changes, or the changes that probably some we've liked and some we found very offensive.
Not only are we done, now that he's out of it, we could finally say Lucas is done with the changes.
Let's hope so. But seriously, before we end this, let's hear from you guys. Tell me exactly how you feel about the changes that were made in the special editions and why you want to see the unaltered versions of the original trilogy.
I would watch unaltered New Hope, special edition Empire, unaltered Jedi. Empire was done well. I don't think there was anything that really overly detracted from it. I know we had a couple nitpicky things there. And actually, my bigger problem, and I think I kind of alluded to this earlier, is after episode 2, they changed Boba Fett's voice. And, you know, that might be a residual thing, since now Bullock's not a speaking actor. He doesn't have to pay him as much in the residuals. You know, identical twins don't have the same voice. Why would necessarily a clone who grew up differently have the same voice? The clones that all grew up together, yeah, probably would have the same accent.
With the way that technology works and we're able to fit more and more data into less and less space, I would not mind seeing a disc that offers both the altered and unaltered version so we get a chance to decide. And I think that that's one of the big problems, is that we haven't had the comparison. You can't compare and contrast when there's nothing to really compare to. And I understand the problem is that Fox has these rights. You know, it could be a big legal issue, this, that, and the other. But what you really need to do is you need to see that both companies stand to make money on this.
Well, the big problem, too, is that Lucas has come out and said that he's destroyed a lot of the original negatives of the original trilogy, and that even if he wanted to release them again, he couldn't. Basically, he said that this is the way I want you to see it, and if you don't like it, that's too bad on you, because this is my world, not yours. And that's what kind of bothers me, is that he's not giving us a choice. Steven Spielberg, he did E.T., and then like a couple of years later, he made a special edition where he felt that we can't use the word terrorist in a movie like E.T., so we're going to change that to the word hippie. And then when the FBI agents are basically about to shoot E.T. or whatever before he flies off, they remove his guns and they replace them with walkie-talkies.
Oh, it was terrible.
But then when the Blu-ray came out, didn't he change that back?
Yeah, he gave us a choice. I mean, well, first he gave us a choice. On DVD, he said, I'm going to give you the special edition and I'm going to give you the original one. And then when the Blu-ray one came out, he did say, you know what, I was wrong to have done that, so I'm just going to release the original one. And I was so grateful that he did something like that, because he was thinking of the fans. And Lucas is not thinking of the fans. He's thinking of himself. And he wants everybody to basically follow him and believe in what he says, and that it doesn't matter if we don't like the prequels. It's too bad. We have to accept them now as part of the original trilogy. Where in the past, we didn't. And that's what I used to do. I used to just watch the original trilogy, and in my world, the prequels just didn't exist. It was just a bad dream. But now you can't do that, because you have Hayden Christensen at the end of Jedi. You have that stupid no, and you have like a bunch of other idiot things that he threw in there. Bottom line is, I'm not happy. I'd love to see the unaltered versions of the original trilogy. I just don't know if we're going to see this in my lifetime, though.
Yep.
I think someone's got to have a copy of it somewhere. I mean, you don't just destroy everything. There's somebody's going to have those negatives. I mean, look, we just, you know, what, not too long ago discovered that there was a Lost Oswald cartoon.
Yeah.
Well, also, I mean, the Smithsonian's got to have the original. or one of the originals.
Library of Congress.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the problem is Lucas. I mean, that's probably... He's probably still against it. He's like, look, guys, I don't want that out. I want you to have my version, and that's it. That's what I said.
But Disney's already done things that kind of go against things he said about that before. Like, he said, you know, I'll never put anything from the holiday special out. And if you look on that Blu-ray set, the entire movie, your entire special is almost there in some sort of Easter egg.
Well, I wouldn't say the entire special, but I know the Boba Fett cartoon is there.
I think there are other clips from my understanding. I haven't gone and found them because, you know, I have a copy of the holiday special sitting around.
Well, again, let's just end this and just hope that one day that Fox and Disney just decide that let's give the fans what they want. And it has to be about choice. And if some fans want to see these changes, that's great. But if other fans want to remember the movie for exactly how they first saw it when they saw it in theaters, let's have that too.
Joe, I've just been trolling around on Twitter, and it seems we have some breaking news that we're able to cover here on Nerd Alert. I do not know how confirmed this is, but we do have pictures leaked of testing from World of Color that shows at least Captain America will be in the 60th anniversary edition of World of Color at Disneyland.
I think I saw something about the shield earlier being projected on the Fun Wheel.
Yep.
Doesn't help me, though, because I'm down here in Disney World. I'm happy for everybody else, though. All right, let's get right into listener email. And we have one listener email this week, and it comes from Catherine Infante. And she would like to know, with Disney and Sony striking a deal to have Spider-Man come to the MCU, do you think that Disney and Fox can strike a similar deal?
They've tried. They've approached Fox about getting minor characters back. And they've been incredibly obstinate about it. They wanted, you know, Silver Surfer, who Fox tried to do and basically butchered. So, until these movies fail horribly, and I mean absolutely horribly, like, not even John Carter or Lone Ranger numbers horribly, this entire Fantastic Four that's coming out in a couple months is just to keep the rights. I don't even think they intended to do well. I think they're just like, we bought them. You're not getting them back. Sorry.
I mean, I sincerely hope that Fox and Disney can come to some sort of agreement. But like Ron says, I worry about Fox doing things like this, just churning out turd movies every few years just to keep the rights in perpetuity. I have seen a very skeptical fan theory out there that Fox is tanking Fantastic Four so badly in hopes of getting a Disney bailout like Sony got with The Amazing Spider-Man. Because, I mean, that deal is basically mutually beneficial, but more so beneficial for Sony. Disney just gets to tell the stories and craft the stories that they want to with Spider-Man and use them in their universe, and Sony's still getting all that money.
I'll say the one good thing that has happened recently is that the head of Fox Motion Pictures was Tom Rothman. And he was the one that was basically causing all the friction between Fox and Disney and Marvel, where he did not want to play nice with Marvel, and he just would never negotiate anything similar to what they did with Sony and Spider-Man. And now he's out. And the weird thing, though, now is that he is the head of Sony Pictures now. After Amy Pascal basically exited her post, she was replaced by Tom Rothman, who caused all of the damage that Disney has with Fox. So I don't know how that's going to turn out with Spider-Man and the Avengers and Sony and Disney, but hopefully he won't have too much effect on it. I think the biggest problem, though, is what we've been talking most of the night about, is Star Wars. I think that Fox has a huge problem that Disney now owns Lucasfilm and Star Wars, because if I was Fox, I would be upset too. I mean, they put so much behind all of those movies, and I still have no idea why Lucas chose Disney over Fox, because to me, it just seemed like a no-brainer he would have gone with Fox to house his library and do future movies with. Something must have happened between Lucas and Fox that we don't know yet, but we will find out eventually, that caused such friction between the two of them. the one thing that I see that could happen, and I've discussed this with my friends, and they think I'm crazy for even mentioning this, but I think that the one thing that can turn Fox over is that right now, I think in 2020, we're going to get the rights to Empire and Jedi, right? And Fox owns the distribution rights to those movies as of now, but they revert to Disney in those years. Fox is always going to own the rights to New Hope, and Disney is never going to get that unless they pay $1 billion or more for that. And to me, I think that's a problem, because Empire is my favorite, but you need Star Wars. I mean, if there's one film that you want to market or you want to sell, it's got to be the first one, the original Star Wars. And that's got to be eating at Disney's craw that they can't do that.
George Lucas and these in perpetuity deals that he makes are just ridiculous.
Well, that was made by Fox.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Lucas funded the others himself and used Fox as the distributor.
Yeah.
That's the difference between those.
So this is the solution that I have, and you're probably going to disagree with me with this, and most people, I'm sure, are going to disagree with me with this, but the original trilogy is not a set as long as we don't have A New Hope. And I don't know if we're ever going to, if Fox is just going to play hardball, and we're never going to get it. So my suggestion is, I think that we should just hand over Empire and Jedi to Fox and let them have those three movies, and only those three movies, and that they give us all of their Marvel franchise characters to add to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's the only way I could see that peace is going to be made between both sides.
I mean, that's a risky deal, and I think that loses a ton of money for Disney versus Fox. I mean, I think the X-Men, as you heard in the beginning of this episode, is starting to run its course. And I feel that, you know, Disney is in a much better hand with the Marvel characters that they have. By the way, is Ant-Man still coming out? Is that still a thing?
Yes, it is.
Because I haven't heard anything about it in forever. But aside from Ant-Man, Marvel's in a much better place with the characters that Disney owns versus what Fox has. I mean, that'd be a great deal for Fox. I don't know if Disney would do that, but something has to happen to get us the original trilogy.
We're gonna have to buy them out, you know, just like they bought Lucasfilm. I mean, they're just going to buy Fox. That would solve everything, actually.
Selling, you know, cross-company DVDs isn't impossible.
No, it's not.
I mean, companies cross-finance films all the time now. I think the weirdest thing about this is we're not going to have the Fox fanfare in front of Episode 7, and that's not going to feel right.
No, it won't. I was just thinking about this the other day.
What's even weirder, and this occurred to me when I was watching Star Trek the other day, we're going to have the Bad Robot logo in front of Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if they might skip that and just, you know, maybe put it at the end.
No, they're going to put that in the front. They have that in the trailer.
Are we going to get the castle in front, too?
I think it might be altered. Like, you know what they did with Tron Legacy?
Yeah.
That was, like, very dark, and what they did with Pirates?
Yeah.
We might see something like that, like...
Or if we're on Tatooine, maybe it's Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
Well, the Fox logo, I have the soundtracks for those movies. It's on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
As a separate track. That's how iconic that is. And yeah, it is going to be weird. When we first sit down, we watch the movie. But you know what? 3 seconds, we'll be over it. No one's going to walk out if they don't hear that Fox score.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, basically, like I said, my answer is that as far as things go, I'm hopeful due to what happened with Marvel and Sony over Spider-Man. And, you know, anything's possible after that. Maybe Fox is looking at what occurs after Spider-Man joins the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And if it's profitable for them, maybe they'll try to strike a deal with Disney, too. You know, the one issue that bothers me is with the release of the Star Wars saga on digital right now is that you cannot watch all six of these movies on Disney Movies Anywhere, which is Disney's own digital movie.
Yes, you can.
Streaming service. You can't watch all six.
What can't you watch? Because they just sent me an email saying that you can.
You can't watch A New Hope. I have something that says right there. It says this movie is currently unavailable on Disney Movies Anywhere. Oh, everything else is, though. Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Huh.
But if you go on to Disney movies anywhere, you cannot watch A New Hope there. And Fox is intentionally holding that back. And I think that that's the reason why we only found out like 4 days or a couple of days ago that this is coming out like in 4 days.
Yeah.
Because they probably were trying to get that on there, but Fox, you know, they couldn't work out a deal with them.
That's crazy.
Think of how long that.
Anyway, I'm hopeful that something will happen, but this is something we're just going to have to wait and see. All right, and since this was our only email, this means it's the end of our show. Wanted to thank you for joining us, and we hope to have you back soon. Until then, see you next time.